Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to Candleshore. I'm recording this small introduction because the following piece some of you may find disturbing regarding the Sovereign Citizen Movement. The piece was originally produced by 60 Minutes and aired on May 15, 2011. But I want to set the record straight that because I'm putting it on the Candleshore podcast, in no way implies that I endorse the movement in any way. Okay? I may even put the disclaimer at the end of the show, because I know some people can say, well, he put down his podcast, so obviously he must be sympathetic. That is not true. Certainly not in this case. Take care. Remember to make a joyful noise. We'll see you back here soon. Bye-bye.
For knowledge beyond dreams, discover That's the Way Love Goes, a collection of short stories by Mark Marcus. Go to thatsthewaylovegoes.net and let the dreams begin.
Tonight, a story about a group of Americans you've likely never heard of. They're called sovereign citizens. Many don't pay taxes, carry a driver's license, or hold a Social Security card. They have little regard for the police or the courts. Some have become violent. The FBI lists them among the nation's top domestic terror threats. By some estimates, there are as many as 300,000 sovereign citizens in the U.S., and with a sluggish economy and mortgage mess, their ranks are growing. It's just the kind of movement that attracts people like Jerry Kane, a divorced, out-of-work truck driver from Ohio. Kane became a sovereign citizen in 2003 when he lost his house to foreclosure. To earn a living, he and his son began crisscrossing the country, peddling a debt reduction scam. Kane promised that by tapping into an imaginary government account, people could achieve financial salvation.
It fits in all kinds of situations. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. Traffic ticket, IRS, mortgage, credit card, hospital bill, child support, whatever it is. Okay?
By 2009, Jerry Kane's self-confidence and trademark white jacket could only mask reality. In truth, he was flat broke. His debt elimination seminars were a bust. As a sovereign citizen, Kane didn't carry a driver's license. His car was registered to a bogus charity. Traffic stops led to arrests, and with each one, Jerry Kane's anger towards authority deepened.
I don't want to have to kill anybody, but if they keep messing with me, that's what it's going to have to come out. That's what it's going to come down to, is I'm going to have to kill, and if I have to kill one, then I'm not going to be able to stop.
Absorbing it all was Kane's 16-year-old son, Joe, homeschooled and raised on sovereign ideology.
Who all here has been to school?
So you
know what it means when I say take one and pass it back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. May 20th, 2010, the Kane's minivan was pulled over on I-40 by two West Memphis, Arkansas police officers. A dashboard camera captured what happened next. Kane got out of the van. He appeared argumentative. Instead of a license, he handed over a document declaring his sovereignty. The officer seemed confused by it. Then, a scuffle. Young Joe Kane jumped from the van and began firing an AK-47. 58 seconds later, as the Kanes prepared to flee, the teenager fired four more times. A truck driver called 911.
Hello? 911, where is your emergency?
Exit 275 on 40. These guys just shot a police officer right on the exit.
So I heard a call go out on my radio. Two officers down at the mile marker 275.
West Memphis Police Chief Bob Powder, that's him in the white shirt, was among the first to arrive. One officer lay motionless on the roadway. A second was in a ditch. Fellow cops came to his aid.
And they kept saying, Bill, you're going to be okay. Bill, you're going to be okay. Well, I knew then it was Bill Evans. And I ran down the hill to Bill. He was wounded very badly. And as I started up the incline, a sergeant was there, and he stopped me. He said, Chief, please don't go up there. I said, is it Brandon? He said, yes.
Brandon is Sergeant Brandon Powdered, the chief's 39-year-old son.
I went up there, and Brandon was lying on his back with his gun still in his right hand, clutch in his hand.
Brandon Powdered died instantly from a bullet to the head. Bill Evans was declared dead at a hospital. They had taken 25 bullets between them. The police cornered Jerry and Joe Kane 90 minutes later. The Kanes wounded two more lawmen before they were killed in a Walmart parking lot. Prior to May 20th, 2010, did you know anything about sovereign citizens?
Never heard the term. I called around, Byron, talked to many departments. Nobody knew about sovereign citizens.
I'll remind all of you about this sovereign citizen group.
Today, the sovereign citizens are Bob Powder's obsession. At roll call, on a day we were with him, he stressed the importance of knowing who they are and the dangers they pose.
If Brandon and Bill had known these were sovereign citizens, they would be with us today. They didn't know.
What is a sovereign citizen?
Sovereign citizen, in its simplest form, believes that he is above the law.
J.J. McNabb has been studying sovereign citizens for a decade. She has testified before Congress and is writing a book about the movement.
He has a twisted sense of history, and he thinks that people who lived in the 18th century were free of all legal constraints, and they want to return to that time now.
Jerry and Joe Kane were part of an anti-government movement whose roots date back to the racist Posse Comitatus of the 1970s and the Montana Freemen of the 90s. Convicted Oklahoma City bomber Terry Nichols was a sovereign citizen, and tax filings by actor Wesley Snipes, convicted of tax evasion in 2008, include numerous examples of sovereign language.
Average sovereign citizen today is 30, 35, and is in economic dire straits. They've probably lost their job. They've probably lost the wife.
Paranoid?
Many are.
Conspiracy theorists?
Most are.
Do you trust the government? I would argue that it's un-American to trust the government.
Alfred Adisk has been a sovereign citizen for 28 years. He's what's called a sovereign guru, one of the movement's leading voices. A roofer by trade, Adisk once published a magazine critical of the legal system. Why is a sovereign citizen movement growing?
What's driving people to it is they are beginning to understand that the government has moved away from fundamental principles that this nation is built on. Where are the limits in limited government? The sovereignty movement is attempting to rediscover those limits and reassert them.
You're eligible for Social Security?
Yes, sir.
Do you collect?
No.
Why not?
If you take these benefits, you wind up being in the status of a subject rather than a sovereign.
You pay taxes?
When they're due. You know, necessarily, it's not true that everyone has to pay taxes.
Has the IRS ever come after you for back taxes?
Yes.
Did you pay?
No.
You don't like this government very much, do you?
I think the government has gone far beyond its constitutional limits. They think, hey, we're not obligated, we're the government, we can do anything. And some people are saying, no, I don't think you can.
Adisk, like other sovereign gurus, shares his views on the internet. With no formal organization to join, dues to pay, or leaders to elect, the sovereign citizen movement exists largely online, where ideology is discussed in chat rooms and on websites. Jerry Kane had his own website, and today there are plenty more.
You were born free, now you can live free.
You always have the option to reject their governance and therefore escape tyranny.
Because it's your life, and the power is really in the people.
In addition to sites featuring sovereign IDs, phony vehicle registration, and license tags, people can watch an endless stream of mind-numbing seminars on how, with just the right paperwork, you too can beat the system.
You can't really believe in what they peddle unless you've turned off a common sense switch. They think that if they sign documents in red crayons, it takes them out of the jurisdiction of the court.
Red crayons?
Some do, yeah. They think that if they sign their name on an angle or put a thumbprint in blood, I mean, I can come up with several hundred of these examples, that sound ludicrous to someone outside, to the people within the movement, they make perfect sense.
But when those efforts to beat the system fail, a sovereign citizen will often seek retribution. The weapon of choice is paper. For example, when a sovereign has a run-in with the law, they might file a lien or financial claim against the personal assets of the police officer or the judge involved. It's easy to file. You don't even need a lawyer. The sovereign never collects, but the target of the lien can have their credit ruined. The practice has been called paper terrorism.
I have liens against me in three states in this country for $500 million.
$500 million, with a B.
Yep.
Robert Vosper is the town justice in tiny Rosendale, New York. He thought there was something odd about a defendant named Richard Uoa, who appeared in his courtroom over a misdemeanor traffic offense. Ulloa refused to cooperate during his arraignment, so Vosper set bail. And that's when Ulloa inundated Vosper's court with paper.
If a lay person looked at it, you would say, boy, this guy's pretty good. Look at all the lore in here.
But you looked at it and thought what?
Gobbledygook.
Eventually, Ulloa and two other sovereign citizens filed liens against Judge Vosper and other local officials in excess of $1.24 trillion. The three men were convicted on federal mail fraud charges. But when Vosper learned one of them had contacts with associates of Jerry Kane at the West Memphis shooting, he increased security at the courthouse and took some personal measures.
I've been a justice for 20 years. I worked 30 years in the penitentiary system. I'm scared.
But you're a guy from Queens. You don't scare easy, right?
No. 30 years in the penitentiary, I never felt I had to carry a weapon. I've been carrying a weapon for a year and a half.
Because of your encounter with this sovereign citizen?
Yeah. I slept with a gun under my mattress for the last year and a half.
Another reason for Vosper's concern is the marked increase in violence associated with sovereign citizens, much of it directed at police and judges. A South Carolina sovereign citizen awaits execution for killing two lawmen in a standoff. In Texas, a sovereign faces attempted capital murder charges in the shooting of three men, two of them sheriff's deputies. And an Alaska sovereign citizen and five others are charged with plotting to kill two judges, state troopers, and an IRS agent. Alfred Addicks told us he's never advocated violence, yet listen to what he said on his internet radio show.
We do not have the right to keep and bear arms so we can go duck hunting. We have the right to keep and bear arms in order to shoot our own politicians. We have the right.
You said we have the right to keep and bear arms in order to shoot our own politicians. We have the right to keep and bear arms to shoot the police, to shoot your local government officials, your state officials, your president, your congressmen, your senators.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
I'm simply saying one of the ways you prevent the misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution is by letting the people in Washington understand that you are armed. That's the idea behind this. It's saying, look, we're armed down here. Don't mess with us.
In this current atmosphere, after the shooting in Arizona where a federal judge was killed, five other people were killed,
right,
a U.S. congressman was injured, 12 other people were shot and injured. Some people might find your remarks troubling.
Yeah, some people might. You know, I find it troubling that the government would try to restrict our right to keep and bear arms. The threat of violence is required because they will not listen. The system will not listen to people like me unless there are other people that back me up who have guns.
Obviously, the guy's crazy. And I think he ought to be brought up on charges. I know that we have a First Amendment right, freedom of speech. But how far can you take that First Amendment before it becomes inflammatory and to the point of being treasonous?
It's difficult to stand up here and talk about your son being killed.
In the years since the shooting, Bob Powdered has been traveling the country training law enforcement officers on how to identify a sovereign citizen and how to avoid trouble should they encounter one.
It's a mission for me. Who better to deliver the message than someone that has lost so much?
Sovereign citizens have a history of going after law enforcement who give them a hard time.
Oh, I hope they do. If they want to come after me, I am very easy to find. The police chief in West Memphis, Arkansas, 7 miles west of Memphis, if they want to come after me, I have absolutely no problem with it and might even like it.
Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to Candleshore. I'm recording this small introduction because the following piece some of you may find disturbing regarding the sovereign citizen movement. The piece was originally produced by 60 Minutes and aired on May 15, 2011. But I want to set the record straight that because I'm putting it on the Candleshore podcast, in no way implies that I endorse the movement in any way. Okay? I may even put the disclaimer at the end of the show because I know some people can say, well, he put down his podcast, so obviously he must be sympathetic. That is not true. Certainly not in this case. Take care. Remember to make a joyful noise. We'll see you back here soon. Bye-bye.
For knowledge beyond dreams, discover That's the Way Love Goes, a collection of short stories by Mark Marcus. Go to thatsthewaylovegoes.net and let the dreams begin.